fighting for America.
Mr. President, if you don't want to give terrorists a recruitment tool, instead of closing Guantanamo Bay, frankly, sir, you ought to close your mouth. They called us crusaders, and you've just confirmed it.
Fighting for Idaho.
The situation with the underpass that you're talking about, it's a microcosm of a larger issue, and because it's such a high-profile area, I think people focus on it a little more than the overall situation warrants.
Fighting for you.
Remember those creepy king ads they did?
The king!
The king.
They were so creepy, though.
They were so creepy.
I thought they were good after a while, though. Here comes the king. He's going to get you.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Don't forget to vote on our opinion poll. Brian Williams, should he be fired, suspended, given a slap on the wrist, commended, shown the door? Other issues that we'll talk about. Joining us now, an all-time favorite of this program, Debbie Schlussel, joining us right now here at 580 KIDO. Good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
You know, you have been at the forefront of being a cultural crusader for years. I've seen you on TV. I've heard you on this radio station. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Let me ask you, what's the state of our culture today?
Well, I think we have a very dumbed down, depraved culture. I mean, I think if I look just 10 years ago into the past, things were so much different. You didn't have somebody that was the symbol of machismo and masculinity in the 70s who won an Olympic gold medal in the decathlon announcing he wants to become a woman. There was maybe a little more shame to doing something like that, and parents maybe could shield their kids a little bit more. You didn't have somebody like Katy Perry singing in the Super Bowl halftime, although you did have the Janet Jackson mishap, but you didn't have somebody singing at halftime, "I kissed a girl and I liked it," and so on. I just think things are changing so rapidly. We have in many ways lost the cultural war. And, you know, while we continue to fight Islamic terrorism around the world and on our own shores, the fact is that these are things that are destroying our culture from within that Al-Qaeda doesn't even need to do. We're doing it to ourselves. You know, this week, let's see, on Saturday, it's Valentine's Day. And on Friday, the movie 50 Shades of Grey debuts. And if you look at the list of what the top 10 most popular fiction novels in America were for the last 11 years, and I have that list on my website, wdoespolitics.com, the number one on the list is 50 Shades of Grey. This is for over a decade, for the last 11 years in the adult fiction market in America. It's number one, and the two sequels to that book are in the top 10 list. And the list is otherwise dominated by basically stuff that is cultural empty calories. There's nothing that is classic and that teaches a good moral or some kind of education, except maybe To Kill a Mockingbird, which is number nine on the list, that's present on this list. And I think it's very scary. Now, one of the reasons that list has 50 Shades of Grey atop the list and the two sequels within the middle of the list is that women in America drive the fiction market. They are 80% of the consumers of the adult fiction market. Men buy history books and biographies. They also tend to buy things that are how-to books and sports-related. They don't tend to read these kinds of novels. And when they do read fiction, they read mystery, sci-fi, and things of that nature. But they are only 20% of the adult fiction market in America. So we have to blame the women for basically losing any sense of what I believe is culture of a long-lasting society.
Well, you know, Debbie, when you talk about the cultural war, we go back to, you know, Pat Buchanan talking about that in 92, and it seems like all his right. predictions have come to fruition. You look at the Today Show, where 50 Shades of Grey week, we're going to get out the colored duct tape. And this is a bad scene, a bad book, and a bad movie. Can you talk about the impact it has on behavior?
I think it has a very bad impact on behavior because, first of all, the theme of that book is that a woman ends up with this billionaire tech mogul who is into bondage and basically torture sex. And she at first doesn't like it, but she ends up with him and grows to like this. And the message of the book is it's okay as a woman to be humiliated and whipped and tied up and all of these kinds of things. And I think that it's an interesting thing that none of the feminists have gotten upset over this. I think they actually like this kind of thing, and I think it's troublesome. I think it shows what phonies they are. You don't hear any of these people like Gloria Steinem speaking out about these books or, you know, any of the others from the National Organization of Women. You also don't hear them. It's the same silence that we hear, that we get from them, the same crickets chirping when ISIS rapes 9- and 10-year-old girls and tortures them, or when Muslims have been doing that in Sudan for decades. You don't hear from them, and it's sort of the same silence here, and it's very troubling. But I think that you now see all of these magazines with articles for women about where to buy these whips and these chains and to be in bondage. And the other thing I think that is bad for our culture is that, you know, as feminism has pushed women into the workforce and they're now, you know, the majority of the workforce in some segments, and men are really taught to become slackers because the government will give welfare and pick up where they leave off. We have a lot of women who not only have adopted the government as their husband and father, but we have a lot of women who, now that they are basically the breadwinner in the family, if they are at all and they're not on welfare and entitlements, they are emulating a lot of male behavior in terms of a lot of the what we traditionally said was male behavior, in terms of a lot of the cheating and a lot of the violent sex and a lot of these other things that we used to traditionally look at men as the ones who did that. And actually it turns out that women are the biggest pigs of all because they made these 50 Shades of Grey books so popular.
Well, and you have the media reinforcing this. If you're a young girl today, you don't have, you know, the stereotypical role model of the mom who with the father raises the family. It's
right.
It's men
well,
are optional.
Considered backwards.
Right. I mean, men are optional. Do whatever you want. Behave like alley cats. And, you know, Debbie, we go back to the media's enforcement. Let's go to another topic you brought up, Bruce Jenner's America.
Yeah.
And how in the world can you combat this where everybody goes, well, you know, if a guy in his 60s that won an Olympic gold medal wants to become a woman, then so be it, I guess.
That is the attitude, unfortunately. And I think that in that respect, we have lost the cultural war because you know, gay marriage is now going to become legal all over the country. The Supreme Court is going to make sure that happens. So we've lost on that front, on defining marriages between a man and a woman. Now we have the Department of Defense paying for sex change operations for people who, not only people who've served with honor in active duty, like there was a Navy SEAL that became a woman, but now we have people like I guess the person now prefers to be called Chelsea Manning, who, you know, basically gave out American secrets and classified information while he was serving in the military. And now that he's in prison, we are probably going to be paying for his entire sex change operation. We're already paying for his hormone treatment.
And here you have people, Debbie, fighting cancer and leukemia and lymphoma that can't afford to pay their medical bills, and you have people
right.
doing this optional surgery. It's amazing where the priorities have gone.
It is amazing. And I, you know, probably, like I said, 10, 15 years ago, you could never have predicted that we were going to go down so fast. And, you know, the late Daniel Patrick Moynihan, who was a liberal Democrat senator from New York, but still recognized what was happening to society and how far we were falling and how quickly, he coined a phrase, and he called this defining deviancy down. So things that were deviant at one time, we are all told, don't judge. It's not your right to judge others. You don't understand their life, and they just do things differently than you do. So we're told not to judge anything, to the point where the most deviant cultural characteristics are deemed to be normal, and we're not allowed to say anything opposite of that.
Well, here's the other thing, and you write about this at DebbieDoesPolitics.com. Brian Williams, a guy that, you know, let's face it, Debbie, if it were you, if it were me, if it were a conservative, it would be the front page. I mean, it's almost as if the libs are reluctantly carrying the water on this story.
Well, what are you talking about? He cured cancer and landed on the moon. How can you criticize somebody that did these things?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's all totally absurd. I did point out on my website, though, that there are a couple of people who are prominent at Fox News, one a contributor and one who's a frequent guest, whose stories are frequently made up and embellished. But they're not a news anchor. Brian Williams is a news anchor who has commercials running, or had commercials. I think they've since taken them off the air quickly. But he had commercials running on his newscast with Michael Douglas's voice, where Michael Douglas told us that this is about trust. And Brian Williams is a man we can trust. His voice is honest and truthful, and we find out it's nothing close to that. If this were anybody else who was on the, if this was anyone on the right, they'd be in the trash can along with their career a long time ago, actually, probably last week or years ago, because people would have spoken out sooner. I mean, remember, Brian Williams has repeated this story apparently for over a decade, because, you know, we've been at war for that long. And Brian Williams was in Iraq earlier on, and that's when he began to tell this story. And nobody spoke out because he's Brian Williams. Now, if this were somebody on the right like you're talking about, I think people would have a lot sooner.
Debbie, can you hang on for a minute?
I'm sorry?
Can you hang on for a minute?
Yes.
Okay, more coming up. Let's get you to traffic at 5.
Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. It's good to visit with you. It's a great day.
Good morning, world. It's a brand new day.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award. 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Our guest, Debbie Schlussel, with us at 580 KIDO. Debbie Does Politics.com. Ma'am, you've stood up for America before the ISIS threat was a reality. How much trouble are we in when we're talking about ISIS and the radicals and our inability to define the enemy?
Well, you know, I have maybe a different take than other people, because I think we're in the same amount of trouble as we were before, because ISIS is al-Qaeda. ISIS began as al-Qaeda in Iraq. It was, the media says that it was founded by Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, but it actually really wasn't. It was founded by Abu Musab al-Zarqawi as al-Qaeda in Iraq, and then it became ISIS. But it's the same people, it's the same group, which is why, you know, before the video was released of the Jordanian pilot whom they so brutally murdered by dousing him with gasoline in a cage and setting him on fire, they said that they wanted the release of this woman, Ms. al-Rashawi, who tried to detonate herself at a wedding in Jordan, and her husband did do that. Now, she and her husband were not ISIS terrorists. They were from al-Qaeda in Iraq. And the reason why ISIS wanted them is because, again, al-Qaeda in Iraq has become ISIS. I do think, yes, we're not identifying the enemy. We do have a president who refuses even to utter the word Islam, other than to tell us that Muslims are just like Christians and he has to reach back centuries ago to the Crusades, and fails to mention that the Crusades were in response to the Almohad Muslim Empire Crusades against Christians, and against Jews, I might add. I happen to be Jewish, and at the time, the Almohad Muslims, even though the Crusades did end up killing some Jews, and many Jews, the Almohad Muslims actually killed and or forcibly converted more Jews as a percentage of the Jews at that time than were murdered in the Holocaust as a percentage of Jews at that time during the Holocaust. So, you know, when Barack Obama fails to put things in historical context and invokes that, hey, Christians are just like Muslims, invokes the Crusades to say that, it's really reprehensible, and it shows that he has no idea who the enemy is. Now, I do want to point out that President Bush very quickly during his presidency stopped using the term Islamic terrorism also. He would not put the words Islam and terrorism in the same sentence. So he was guilty of the same thing. But at least he knew who the enemy was, I think, privately, and we were fighting them. I do think it was a mistake to go into Iraq and insist upon democracy, which is why I think all of this happened. And I supported the war in Iraq, but I never supported giving them the right to vote so that they could elect Shiite Muslims that are backed by Iran who hate us. When they did that, they created a giant vacuum and a giant feeling of resentment by the Sunnis who used to be in power under Saddam Hussein. And that's why Al-Qaeda in Iraq, now ISIS, was created. And I believe we should have gone in there, taken out Saddam Hussein, and put in a Sunni, pro-American, brutal dictator like the Shah of Iran, only not Shiite, because the Shah of Iran was Shiite, so that we could, number one, provide a bulwark against Iran. Now they have a Shiite crescent through the Middle East. But number two, so that he could clamp down on people and there never would have been an Al-Qaeda in Iraq or an ISIS. I mean, under Saddam Hussein, he was a brutal dictator and a horrible human rights violator and not a good person. But this is what they understand on the Muslim street in the Middle East. And I think that he would, an ISIS or an Al-Qaeda in Iraq would have never cropped up under him. But now we are where we are. And Barack Obama is so steadfast to denying what is going on there and not dealing with the problem that I think we are in tremendous trouble. I mean, you saw over the weekend those six Muslim Americans, who all of whom immigrated here legally, who were indicted for organizing to fundraise for ISIS. And now these were not people where many of the cases over the years the FBI finds somebody that they have identified who is Muslim, who's radical, and they entice that person into a fake plot to blow up something in America. These people are not involved in a plot like that. These people, on their own, were actively sending money to and fundraising for ISIS on their own without FBI involvement. And these are people who came here legally. And we have not, since 9/11, done anything to keep people like that out. In fact, Muslim immigration to America has doubled. Now, I know Barack Obama wants to say that these people are not Muslims and they pervert the Islamic religion. Well, I want to know, what kind of mosque did they go to? Was their mosque called an ISIS mosque? No, I'll bet you it was just a plain Muslim mosque. And I'll bet you there are radical sermons given there all the time. I'm sure they read the Quran, which is quite violent. I'm sure they learned the Hadith, which is considered the word of Muhammad and equally as binding as the Quran, which is quite violent. The Hadith are very violent. And I'm sure that this didn't happen out of a vacuum. And remember, these six people who were indicted were not friends. They were not together. They were six different people in different states in the country who were all funding ISIS. I mean, it wasn't where they were related and it was just one family. These were different people. And on Sunday, I heard on the radio members of their community saying, oh, innocent until proven guilty. This doesn't represent Islam, this and that. Please. Again, these are Muslims who go to a regular mosque like all other Muslims. They hear messages of hate. They don't hear much love for America. And they're here in our midst, having immigrated here legally. And when we have immigration amnesty, which we already basically have de facto, think about it. These people were radicals. Nothing caught that in their background. All these other people who are going to get amnesty, who are from many of these dangerous Islamic countries, we're not vetting them any better than we vetted these six. So there are a lot more of them in our midst, and we're not facing up to the problem. And I think it's not even just a matter of overseas, fighting them overseas. I think it's a matter of protecting our homeland, and I think we failed miserably since 9/11 in that. And I blame not just Obama, but also President Bush, because he didn't do anything about this either. In fact, he stepped up Muslim immigration, and this late King Saudi King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia, you'll recall that he and President Bush met at the Waco airport, and he said he didn't want any women on the tarmac or in the air traffic control tower, and the Bush administration gave into that demand. And then when they met, they went to the Bush Ranch in Crawford, Texas. Bush not only doubled but quadrupled the number of Muslim students that are here from around the world that are sponsored by Saudi Arabia, to the point that on any given year, and right now, we have over 100,000 Muslim foreign students here on visas sponsored by Saudi Arabia. We've not vetted them carefully. We don't know who they are, and there have been many instances since 9/11 to date of these students on these visas being involved in recruiting for terrorism, staging dry runs in places like Florida and Colorado, and doing all sorts of other really nefarious stuff in our midst on U.S. soil. It's very scary, and it's not, you know, just the Fort Hoods. It's people that are here silently planning that we don't know about that could be activated at any time.
Debbie does politics. Debbie, we appreciate it. We'd love to have you back,
Thank
ma'am.
You. I would love to come back.
Okay,
anytime.
Take care.
You too.
All right. It is 8:31. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
You know, sure, you're enjoying the warm weather, the rain, no snow, but in the summer, are we going to pay? Joining us now is Phil Morsi, a hydrologist and data collection officer, talking about the snow survey here in the state of Idaho. Good morning, sir.
Hi, Kevin. How are you doing?
Well, with a name like Phil, you've got to be a great guy.
Thank you. And since my brother's name is Kevin, you also are a pretty special guy.
I'm trying. So, you know, we're rejoicing in the warm weather. Is that going to impact our water supply in the summer?
Well, the warm weather has been nice. The snow in the high country is still sticking around. Some of the mid-elevation snow is starting to decline a little bit with this unusual warm weather. So it's maybe a little bit of a mixed message. One thing that's very promising is this first week here in February, even though it's been warm, we've gotten quite a bit of precipitation. And what I see in a lot of our mountain sites in the central part of Idaho and most of northern and central over to the Snake is that we've received almost 75% of the total February amount of precipitation already. So that's really good news.
It is indeed. Is there a concern, though, that if this warm weather persists that, we could have some water shortages in the summer?
Well, there's a couple areas like Magic Reservoir. There are reservoirs below average, and the stream flow forecast is slightly below average. So they're kind of in the zone of potentially seeing a shortage. Most of the upper Snake and even on into the Boise has pretty good reservoir carryover. Snowpacks have increased the past couple days with all the rain adding to the snowpack, not necessarily seeing a lot of melt. So the main areas that might see shortages are on kind of the very western edge of the state, like the Owyhee there, the Weezer area over there, and then up in the Panhandle region alongside the state of Washington. Those areas are all below 70% at the moment. So those areas are kind of a bit of a concern. But actually, the rain this past week, a lot of it was absorbed into the snowpack at the high elevation. So that increased the snowpacks to mostly above normal throughout the state. So that's been good. What the warm weather has done is ripen the snowpack. And ripen, what I mean is it's getting closer to the melt freeze temperature. And so it's very dense. The snowpack's got a lot of water and it's becoming at a higher density. So it's more like conditions we might expect to see in March, so that it could start melting maybe 3 weeks earlier than normal.
Hmm. Well, Phil, we appreciate it. Thanks for that that in-depth look at it, and say hello to your brother Kevin for me.
Okay, and generally the outlook for the rivers is all pretty darn good, about normal. So river runners and everybody should be good. Might be a little earlier this season. So
not bad if you're running the river.
Yep, get your equipment ready.
All right, take care, sir.
Okay, thanks, Kevin.
All right, thank you. There you have it, some information that you need to know concerning watering and snowpack and everything else right here at 580-KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning. Phone numbers, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We've invited you to go to 580kido.com. And just giving you a simple question, Brian Williams should be A, fired, B, suspended, C, given a slap on the wrist, how about D, commended, or shown the door? I guess fired and shown the door are the same thing. Let's go to the poll right now, and we have about 60% of you saying he should be fired. Others say suspended, slap on the wrist, commended, shown the door. You know, I think it goes back to how we view our society today. And here you have a guy that had a career in journalism, an all-around great guy, and he told a fib. Did he just tell one fib, or was it many?
We're up in an Israeli military Black Hawk helicopter. Here's a view of rockets I'd never seen passing underneath us, 1,500 feet beneath us, you know, and we've got the gunner doors on this thing. And I'm saying to the general, some four-star, okay, so if we're 1,500 feet, it wouldn't really take much for them just to adjust the aim and try to do ring toss right through our open doors, would it? But, you know, they're firing real bullets over there. Anytime you want to cross over to the other side, baby, no. Travel with me.
You know, let me just say this. And apparently, Brian Williams at least initially reported the truth. And then he kind of stretched the truth again and again. So he went from an observant reporter to all of a sudden being Chuck Norris. And there's a code that you have. And I think that a lot of us have it. And, you know, you have people across the country that violate that honor code. And you read about stories all the time, a guy pretending to be a Navy SEAL or a Delta Force operator or a Ranger or something like that. Most of us, heck, I'd say 99% of us, have so much respect for those people that actually serve that we would never try and dishonor their service, their sacrifice, by trying to glom onto the glory. You ask any of those folks, men and women, and they'd say, I'd gladly rather stay home than be weeks without a shower in a strange land with strange people trying to kill me, trying to mutilate me to send a message. Why would anybody try and pump themselves up when you're making $10 million a year? Nepotism running wild at NBC. You got your daughter, the part of Peter Pan. You're the beautiful people. Is there some depravity of the soul that people seek to do that? Now, I was talking to Mrs. Miller about this, and I said, man, there are a few things that you don't lie about. You don't lie about military service. You don't lie about the ministry. You don't lie to the police. And it's just an unspoken rule. And maybe Brian Williams had something in his life that was missing. You know, the coolest thing that has happened to me since we've been together is there'll be a time or two when I'm stumbling and bumbling in my Crocs and hoodies around the Treasure Valley with my disheveled look. And I'll have a young man or a young woman come up to me and say, hey, you're Kevin Miller. And I go, yeah. And they say, you were with us in Iraq. I was there for 10 days. Those guys were there for a year. They lost people. And we're not just talking about the folks with the Idaho Army and Air Guard, we're talking about active duty people. And I thought, my goodness, how much I appreciate, we appreciate you, our veterans, that while I was sitting around opining about, not having enough cholesterol in my diet and getting agitated about garbage that doesn't matter, you were keeping us safe against the evil in the world. Why dishonor them by trying to claim their glory? Now, we have breaking news, if you will. We have the young woman who tried to do right by the world by being an aid worker, by going over to that country, over in the Syria world, if you will. And how was she rewarded? Well, ISIS killed her. Her last name, Mueller, just happened, just across the wire. Folks, if this doesn't convince you of the terrorist threat that we have, who kills innocent people? Now, you're going to have a lot of people saying, well, they shouldn't be there. Primarily talk show hosts that want to make a name for themselves. Shame on them. It doesn't take a lot of courage to be a tough guy and ridicule someone who's dead behind a microphone in a room. I'll tell you what takes a lot of courage is going somewhere, a world that you don't know anything about, and trying to help make that world a better place. And for that, this young woman was killed by ISIS themselves. And you can't negotiate with them. You can't have a president start ripping the Crusades. You have to deal with them with the only language that they understand, and that is the rod, that is the spear, that is the sword. Is it not? For far be it for one day in the midst of the Grammy Awards and the selfies, this could be happening in Idaho, in the West. Let's hear the latest from John Decker with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO.
The President and Mrs. Obama conveyed their deepest condolences to the Mueller family and said the country shares in their grief. According to a spokesperson for the National Security Council, over the weekend, the Mueller family received a private message from Kayla's ISIS captors containing additional information. Once that information was authenticated by the intelligence community, they concluded that Kayla was deceased. Mueller was captured in Syria in August of 2013. At the White House, John Decker, Fox News Radio.
Almost, what, 2 years in captivity? Kayla Mueller. Remember that name, James Foley. Remember that name. Avenge them. Isn't that the point, to avenge them? Because if we don't do anything here, they're coming for us. Republican or Democrat, where's the outrage from the administration? 580-5436, 580-KIDO, 851, time for traffic now.
President, if you don't want to give terrorists a recruitment tool, instead of closing Guantanamo Bay, frankly, sir, you ought to close your mouth.
Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth.
This president does everything he possibly can to defend Islam and does almost nothing to defend the honor of this country.
Shut your mouth.
Food for your brain. Kevin Miller, 580KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. By the way, we've got some great tickets to give away. Why don't we do that right now? Caller 10 and caller 12, you're going to wear a pair of tickets to the Chris Boddy Show coming up at the Morrison Center. Is that correct, Ray Maya? That's right. Very hot act here. And we're very humbled to do that. How about a great Valentine's Day present right here at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We go to Liberal Steve with Kevin Miller. Good morning, Liberal Steve.
Good morning, Mr. Miller, KIDO, best of the West. Hey, that Debbie Gill, do you think she would agree by what she had to say that TV, radio, and media highly influence the public, citizens across the world?
I can't really speak for her, but I can say that, yes, media does influence behavior.
And she mentioned that she was Jewish. And
look, is this review and commentary over what she said? Do you have anything to add?
Well, it's well-known knowledge that a lot of Hollywood and everything is Jewish, and a lot of comedians are Jewish, and a lot of TV people are Jewish. So aren't they kind of running the culture? And what was the name of her book, Debbie what?
Her website, DebbieDoesPolitics.com. Thank you for adding absolutely nothing to the program today. 45 in Star, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KI. And once again, your thoughts and prayers for all of our men and women in service, especially to the family of Kayla Mueller, a beautiful woman killed by ISIS. Good day, God bless. Do appreciate you listening. Tell a friend. We'd love to be with you for many more years. Keep the faith. KIDO Nova, Idaho.